Casper seemed pretty chill. You know what I mean? Like, there seems to be some ghosts that
he didn't
are,
like, know. He didn't know the horrors yet. He had not broken his innocence as a ghost.
That's true.
Who just raw dog opened the can? Was that you, Aaron? Was that you,
no,
flexing?
No, that would be Jason. Jason Waterfall.
Jason, yeah. My man. What?
Sorry, I thought I was muted. I was muted and then I had to come back.
I like that he went off. He thought that if he turned off his camera, we couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's like object permanence up in here. Hello and welcome to episode number 527 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertained do not matter.
To find out more about these spectral pursuits, check us out. I did it. I didn't even prep it. I just did it off the cuff. Check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast. And we are still on dying Twitter at PopcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking ghosts and pop culture.
But before we do that, there is but 1 week left to snag your merch from our merch shop. Do you want an embroidered sweatshirt? Do you want a new beanie just in time for winter? What about stickers for your notebooks or your tablets or your laptops or your car? Do you want a mystery pin that might end up being the Golden Knox pin that gets you a year membership in our VFox community? Head to knoxandjamie.shop and fill your cart until next Wednesday, November 1st, when the shop closes.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
All right, Jamie, on this spooky week before Halloween. See, there's no fun pun, so I just had to say it. So it's just like, you know, missionary position, yeah. Up the top here. Gah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're going to be talking ghosts. So to begin, I want to ask you, do you believe in ghosts? Point blank.
100%. 100%.
You do? Like, that was no
ghosts.
Hesitation.
Oh, I love the idea. Now, all the ghosts I believe in are pretty happy and pretty energetic.
That is at odds with the ghost idea, probably, I would say.
Listen, Casper seemed pretty chill. You know what I mean? Like, there seems to be some ghosts that
he didn't
are
know.
Like,
he didn't know the horrors yet. He had not broken his innocence as a ghost.
That's true.
Who just raw dog opened the can? Was that you, Aaron? Was that you,
no,
flexing?
No, that would be Jason. Jason Waterfall.
Jason, yeah. My man. What?
Sorry, I thought I was muted. I was muted and then I had to come back.
I like that he went off. He thought that if he turned off his camera, we couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's like object permanence up in here. Keep it. Keep that in. Aaron, take the religious stuff out of here. Get it out of here. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Not a Bible scholar.
Not at all.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. If you're a ghost, why are you hanging around my bathroom? Why are you?
What else is there to do?
You can go anywhere. You can do anything.
Yeah.
You
know, maybe, like, your bathroom's got some interesting stuff going on.
No, it doesn't.
Not that cool.
Why are you not, like, sneaking in? Why are you not going to see the Aaron's?
Maybe you've been a ghost for 700 years and you're like, now it's time for your Aaron's bathroom.
No, I think like you can do so many things. Like, you can go to the World Series. You could go to the White House.
Well, pause there. I like that. The best event she could think of off the cuff.
No, I said Aaron's.
The World Series is electric. It is.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think it would be really fun to go to the World Series. You could go to the College World Series. I like that this year.
That's true.
That was fun.
Yeah.
You could go to a UAB Blazers game. Go Blazers.
Go Blazers.
So I'm saying.
It's been a tough. People are saying maybe you cursed them, Aaron.
Maybe I did.
No.
Because welcome back, obviously. We're glad you're healthy. Healthy-ish. You know, we're glad you're back with us. We missed you last week.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I don't know if we talked about this on Faith Adjacent, but I'd always read, I'd heard the Paul Mooney bit of like, if there's ghosts, there would be slave ghosts everywhere in the South. So like, you have to acknowledge that ghosts don't exist.
Why can't ghosts have freedom? Why are they going to stay what they were?
Well, I think if the whole idea of a ghost is to avenge something, an injustice they experienced during life.
Oh, you've put a lot of weight on that ghost. I just think a ghost is like, I died and now I'm still around and here's a version of me.
That's my thing. Like, why would they be just like hanging around your bathroom?
I can't. Well, my bathroom is a good time. I'll be
honest. Ghost needs a purpose.
You don't even like your bathroom.
Well, no, it is a Tuscan 1991 bathroom, but I like what happens there. We have a good time. We watch some YouTube videos. Maybe they're learning some stuff about retinol. I don't know.
Like what happens in your bathroom. That's a take, man.
Listen,
that's a take.
I clean up, clean out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, for a weird kind of ghost, I guess that's like the what they're going for. I looked at the definition, obviously, because since we're doing an episode on ghosts, it does feel good to have a baseline of like what we're talking about. So we can get between like some of these contrary definitions that we're talking about, right? And obviously, like if you go to Webster's or anything like that, a ghost, aka, is an apparition of a dead person which is believed to appear or become manifest a living, typically as a nebulous image. I feel like that's a very broad, kind of comprehensive idea of what we all assume. Yours might be a little happier, but I think mostly we all kind of agree on that.
Yes. And so you do not believe in ghosts?
No, I don't. Okay. I think it's for babies. It's ridiculous. It's fun to think about, but it makes no sense.
Do you know which ghosts are the best? Baby ghosts.
Baby ghosts are not the best.
Oh my gosh.
No, they're just super fun and they're like tickly and fun. And I like baby ghosts.
Think about what you're saying.
You have no basis.
Again, we have gone over this.
Baby ghosts don't exist.
Sometimes people die. That's just what it is.
I think baby ghosts don't actually exist. You don't like, no one was like, I interacted with the cutest, cuddliest baby ghost.
What if baby ghosts are in charge? What if they're the supervisors of all the ghosts?
And that's what like Boss Baby's about?
Like Boss
the third
baby
Boss Baby
ghost.
Movie? Oh my gosh. This would be incredible. I looked on Urban Dictionary what ghost meant, and the best one I found said a username that 12-year-olds like to use to feel edgy on video games, but wind up backfiring and show who they truly are. Parentheses. Inbred Southerners from Louisiana.
Oh, stop it. Wow, that's tough. The toughest parentheses ever.
Yeah.
That's yikes.
But you will see that username. I personally played with Rufio. That was my username in honor of Hook.
Of course, from Hook. Yes.
But I had my Ghost era as well. So I do have to admit that.
I just ordered Ghost Max shoes from Brooks.
What are those? What does that mean?
They're white. They're very, I watched a TikTok and he convinced me, the designer, but it's really for runners. So I don't know what I'm going to do in them, but they are cute. I
never
do
know.
Love a Brooks shoe. I do.
Never know. Who knows what could happen with those? So in honor of the ghost idea, Jamie, do you want to talk about maybe like a pop culture thing that haunts you perhaps?
Yeah, these are the things I think about all the time. And by all the time, I mean once a week, minimum. Like if something in this topic comes up, I think about these things. So Star Wars, let's talk about Star Wars and how it haunts me. There's some plot holes. There's a lot, actually. There's a ton. We could get into the technical things about maneuvers and things that don't make sense. But I actually just want to get into Luke and Leia. Leia says in The Return of the Jedi, she describes her mom in detail. Like she talks about how she looked and how she felt when she was around her. Mm-hmm. And she was taken away from her as a newborn. So I don't like that. That's
maybe she's a liar though. Maybe that's what that was meant to
That
imply.
Could be that Leia's
she's
a liar. Absolutely. And then Luke, listen, her twin brother also taken because they're trying to hide them, the twins, from their father, who's now Darth Vader and not great, but I like that they're like, we're going to put you on another planet from your sister, but we are going to let you have your dad's last name. Like, that's how hard we're working to hide you. Like, what?
It's great planning to be like, we're stashing you on the crappiest, dumpiest planet ever, but we're going to give you his last name.
And then to come into the current era, again, Palpatine just came back. Like, he just, first of all, he's decrepit.
Yeah.
And he died. Plus Force Ghost. Like, what's the point if they can just come back and do an inspiring third act monologue? Like, that's not any fun. Like, the Force Ghost just being like, oh, we died and it was sad. But also, here we are to give you more advice.
Now, see, I would be into the ghost's idea if they were like, we can't come back and do anything. We can't, have powers or anything like that. But we can just like give you good context on stuff. And you can ask us questions and we can
just
give
like
you better
more like a therapist ghost, but now I cannot teach you any force maneuvers.
Yes. I like that a lot.
Right.
I think that would be really good.
Like you have some unresolved daddy issues.
Yeah. I think that would be helpful.
I like that.
You know, pop culture things that haunt me. I've got, this is like a baked in one. This is probably true for you. I won't speak for you, but I feel like it's probably true as well. that Studio 60 on Sunset Strip wasn't good. It was one of those.
Why was it not good? Why was it not good?
It just wasn't. And it, the stars involved and the moment that it was occupying, everything felt set up for success. And then you watched it. And like, that's when I'm bad about, like, if I see one game of someone, I'm like, that person's going to win MVP, all my money in. And I put all my money on Amanda Peet. I was like, this is Meryl Streep. It basically sounds the same. And then she really didn't do much after that. But it just, Matthew Perry, it didn't pop off. Riley Whitford, even Sarah, because Sarah
Paulson,
I always want to call her Polly, and I know it's not Polly. And my brain gets
but that is a person, so that's fair.
And my brain's like, hey, that's a different person, but you don't even know the real one. I don't have space for you. That would be helpful to have a ghost be like, hey, this is what you're looking for. Here's some context on it. But yeah, it made me really sad that never popped off like this.
You know, the only good thing I think that came out of Studio 60 was that Amanda Peet and Sarah Paulson became best friends because of that. Mm. And now they make weird Instagram live videos where they seem a little high and they make a lot of jokes about Holland Taylor, Sarah's old wife. It's a delight. Like
respectful
delight.
Jokes or like shade
respectful.
Jokes?
Oh, 100% okay. Respectful. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
No, I still am not over Amanda Peet and Fatal Attraction and whatever is happening with her and her character.
What?
It was a delight.
I'm so sad for her. Like that she couldn't get better gigs. You know? My next one is, of course, and I think it's something that haunts all of us, is the reproductive journey of the Smurfs and trying to understand it. Okay. I did learn through my research over the many years that I've pondered this, that Smurfs are generally a one-gendered species. They're all male. So they're supposed to be like originally it was just boys, which is always great. Love that patriarchy in our comics. And then the babies are delivered by a stork. Okay. But then we got Smurfette, and you know, Gargamel actually created Smurfette out of clay.
Okay.
To lure the Smurfs away. But she was a brunette. You can't lure anybody. Brunettes can't lure people. That's ridiculous.
Wait, so, does that make Gargamel a feminist? That's a bigger question.
Maybe so. Well, so she was brunette, but then she went and she infiltrated and she wanted to become a real Smurf. And so Papa Smurf cast a spell and he made her a real Smurf. And that's why she became blonde, which I think is also why I struggle to this day with the blonde versus brunette dichotomy that we've been served by pop culture through Archie and all the comics. That why were comics trying to, and then of course Kathy was brunette, that's why she was single all those years. I don't understand that. Listen, I love Smurfette. I also think she represents the women in your life who don't have girlfriends, right? Like, she's I'm a guy's girl. But again, I know there are more girls now because now we have the Katy Perry Smurf. And like, I know they've added, they're like, oh, we added some girls. Don't worry about it. But I'm just saying in the classic for so many years, for literally decades, we were just like, it's 100 of them. And then there's this one girl. What? I don't like that. Is no one in love? I don't like it.
So when you said she wanted to be a real Smurf, so they made her blonde and that made like what?
Well, he put a curse on her and that turned her hair blonde. And it was like, oh, now you're Smurfette.
And that, so the curse made her a real Smurf?
It did. Well, not a curse, a spell. He cast a spell.
Okay, cast a spell.
But
before that,
spell, but a positive
she wasn't
spell.
A Smurf. She was
no, because
just...
Gargamel made her as he made her out of clay. And he made her to infiltrate the Smurfs and lure them away from Papa Smurf.
Okay, I'm hesitating on bringing up Human Clay, the Creed album. That's really good. And you guys would probably love.
No. This is the perfect point to put it in. Like,
should we talk more about that? I don't know if I'm seeing them on TikTok and it works its way over to Instagram or if they're starting on Instagram.
That's 100% that how sense. It works. Yes.
Yeah, that tracks.
Susie and her pesto just made it to Instagram. And I was like, oh, look, Susie and her pesto made it.
Yeah,
and you don't even know what that means. And you don't have to know what that means.
I kind of like the wave of it's like time zones. It's like the new year gets to me in a couple hours. I'm excited to see it.
Like, when do you get to see the lunar eclipse? Well, it'll be in an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see the dog in the bones and all that kerfuffle.
He's dead.
Out.
You're never going to see him.
Spoiler alert.
You know what he is? Noodles is a ghost. I hope he comes.
Yes, he's bones now,
today.
Right? Yeah. He's all bones.
He's literally bones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll do a back-to-back here because these are quick. The last season of Game of Thrones. It really haunts me because I feel like it was such. Yeah, like, and it had such cultural authority. Everyone was invested in it. Everyone was talking about it. Like, if it could have landed the plane capably, I think it would have been qualified as the greatest TV show of all time. And I
100%.
Don't think anyone would have disputed that.
No,
but the way it unraveled, I think a couple weeks ago, I think we were talking about, the Rolling Stone, like top 100 of the 21st century TV shows. And it was like middle of the pack. And I don't think either of us disagreed with that because of how bad the final season was. And I think it's a testament to, you can build up a great resume, but if you blow it on like the last little bit, like you're screwed. It's over.
So, you know, George R. R. Martin, who wrote the books that the show is based on, he just came out in the news and was like, hey, stop pestering me. The Winds of Winter is 75% complete, but it will take 3 to 4 more years before it comes out.
My dude.
He'll be dead by then. He'll be a ghost. Like, and that's not even the final book. That's not even the final book in the series. What are you talking about?
See, I would respect it more if he's just like, guess what? I'm not writing it. I'm done. I'm not finishing it.
Me too. Because it's been 12 years. Stop pretending. Stop pretending.
I'm going to write it. You guys are going to get pissed. You're going to be like, you should have done that. The show did that. It's a no-win situation. And he's probably living a nice life, you know,
that's with right,
suspenders
that's right.
and stuff.
Another pop culture thing that haunts me, and I think this haunts most of us, are just lyrics that we don't understand. From songs that we love, perhaps. For me, I just want to share a few. Maybe you can tell me what they mean. Okay, first up, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Give It Away, right? 1991 classic. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm a lowbrow, but I rock a little know-how. Got that. Feel like I understand that. And then he says, no time for the piggies or the hooscow. What do you think hooscow is?
Can I get a spelling on that?
Hoos as in moose, H-O-O-S-E, gow as in cow, G-O-W.
Hooscow.
No time for the piggies or the hooscow. Is that no time for the fatties or as a fatty, for those who are new, I'm saying that as a fatty. No time for the fatties and the, is that drugs? Is hooscow a drug? Is it?
Could you use cocaine? It in a sentence or do you want me to
I
use
just
it in a
did
sentence?
In this lyric. No time for the piggies or the hooscow.
I don't know what it is. That's not, I mean, like make it
Flea.
The subject of a sentence.
That's a question
sentence.
For Flea. You're going to have to ask Flea.
You know, I did Google it while you were talking. Evidently, it's slang for jail. It's a jail.
No time for the piggies. Oh, the police.
The police in the jail. That's what it is. Oh, my
okay,
gosh.
We're solving.
Listen,
you're helping me get rid of some ghosts. Okay, there next. Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2009. Obviously, you think I'm going to say the lyric, I'm so 3008, you're so 2000 late. But that's a great lyric. Okay, that's a great lyric. But then she says, beat so big, I'm stepping on leprechauns.
Okay.
But why would the beat be so big, but yet the only step I can take is over a tiny leprechaun? Shouldn't it be like step so big or beat so big I'm stepping on James and the Giant Peach?
Oh, you're saying like you need another tall guy, like a Victor Wembanyama.
Like leprechaun doesn't feel like a you don't have to lift your leg that high. You know, you don't have to lift your hooscow that high.
It could just be a song from again Human Clay, one of the best albums of the last few years, and it would be big enough to step on a leprechaun.
That's right.
It doesn't need to be that big.
Yeah, okay, good. That's helpful. And then so that's just a bad lyric. And then finally, Bang Bang by Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj. Okay. So she says, bang, bang into the room. I know you want it. Bang, bang all over you. I'll let you have it.
Okay.
So I thought I knew what bang, bang was, but now I don't know what bang, bang is. Aaron, do you know what bang, bang is?
I assume it is sexual intercourse.
So bang, sexual intercourse into the room. I know you want it. Sexual intercourse all over you. I'll let you have it. Okay. Well, she makes a good case.
You know, I did get some. So from last week's episode, I think we talked about my nephew and going to a Japanese steakhouse, which some people were like, hey, old timer, we call them hibachi places in our day, in the current iteration of time, which I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was, you know, that this was the 1930s Germany with language and stuff like that. I just thought we were people talking. But people didn't understand. I was saying white sauce. And evidently, there's different like forms and formulations. I've heard bang bang sauce referred to this white sauce at a Japanese steakhouse / hibachi place.
I thought white sauce was yum yum.
I thought yum yum was the pink sauce.
Yeah, see, that's what some of the people, Aaron, you were very nice when you just said that and disputed it. A lot of people were much angrier in my DMs.
Oh, because I thought there was pink sauce, white sauce. Oh yeah, you're right.
You can't have pink sauce and pink medicine.
That's too much.
Those are very clear boundaries for me. You know,
I don't like how much we're talking about sauces.
Well,
is that what bang bang is? Is that what bang bang is?
That's not my fault.
Bang bang all over you.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. Let's see. I also had things that haunt us. I remember when my sister saw a movie. She's like, that was probably the coolest movie I've ever seen and had a twist. I was like, ooh, I kind of want to know what it is. And she's like, do you think you'll see the movie? I was like, nah, I don't think I'll see it. Cause it's from a director I don't recognize. M. Night Shyamalan something.
Oh,
not interested. I'm not going to say she spoiled it because I said, hey, tell me what happens. So that's not on her. That's on me. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, this movie would have been so
much better. It's the best twist in all of cinema history.
It really is.
If you don't know what it is. Yeah.
And there's no reason for me to ask to have it spoiled, but I did. So I feel
What a bummer. Because you were probably young. That would probably have been perfect.
Yeah,
like a perfect moment for little teen Knox.
It was that was my fault. That was my fault. And then I also have that Idris Elba never got to be Bond. You know, I feel like he was the Broccoli family was trying to figure out who the next Bond was going to be.
Right.
After Daniel Craig, and in that span of time, Idris Elba was born. He came of age. He was on The Wire. He was on Luther. He became a DJ. And now he's old and he can't be Bond anymore. And I just feel like if they would have been a little more timely about it, he could have been.
I know. And I'm sad. Like, because again, the Broccoli family just came out and we're like, again, as a reminder, we learned this in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. The Broccoli family did invent broccoli, like the actual vegetable. And so that is a true fact. But they were like, oh, we still haven't figured it out. Like, we just don't know. Like, if
you
we're
guys,
not ready,
it was 2 years ago when Daniel Craig was done. And you're like, I haven't even thought about it. Is that
Yeah,
new?
And it was really like they probably stopped filming that thing 4 years ago. Because remember, it got delayed because of the pandemic. They've been done with him for what feels like 5 years.
Yeah, it's yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it. All right. Anything else that haunts you?
Well, I mean, I don't want to like revisit the lyrics, but also, even though the gods are crazy, even though the stars are blind, what do you think Paris meant by that? There are 9 writers on that song, by the way, because I was like, did Paris even write this? She did not. No. That's a dope song, by the way. I'm not stinking on the song. What I'm saying is, I don't understand how stars are blind. Like, how are they blind? And why does that affect my love life? If they are blind,
that does feel like a very drug induced line you write. And you're like, that's a tight line. And then you think about it, you're like, that doesn't even make sense. That's crazy.
No, but I sing it with pride. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
My last one is that the Ghosts of a Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens story, yes. You know,
yeah.
I think it haunts me that I don't understand the Ghosts of Christmas Carol. Like, they're so mismatched, you know, because the Ghost of Christmas Past looks like a sentient.
That's my least favorite ghost in all of history.
It doesn't make sense. It looks like a sentient Precious Moments figure that's like now doing stuff, you know, got some assignments and like trying to get in the game. Christmas Present to me looks like if Jesus did gummies, like did too many gummies, and he was just like, what's up? Green robe, big beard, kind of gingerish, got a crown. What do you need? What are we talking about?
You know what here? He'd have though? Snacks. Because people who are high on the Mary Jane, they always got a snack in their pocket. I love that.
That's helpful.
And I say that as somebody who eats a lot of snacks when she takes her Delta 8.
And then Christmas Yet to Come, that's just a Grim Reaper without his sickle. And like he just forgot to bring a sickle, so he points at everything, you know?
I thought the Grim Reaper killed you. No? The Grim Reaper comes and collects you after you're dead? What is the Grim Reaper's job?
This is a great question because I don't know why he has a sickle, because it implies that he is going to murder you with the sickle.
Yeah,
however, he does not. He just collects
you. I thought that's how he killed your spirit.
Yeah,
and he snagged it out of you, like with the sickle, like a little.
He's just like public transportation. He's like, hey, I'm here to get you where
you know how, like, if babies are choking, you're supposed to crook your finger to get into their mouth to get their whatever their Cheerio they're checking on.
No, for the audio, intense hand gestures.
You know how you're supposed to crook your finger, and that's how you get somebody choking if you go in.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Did you just think I'll just say it again with the same hand gestures, and we would now understand what you?
Sure, I'm remembering it right, and I think I am. And so that's what I felt like the sickle was doing. The sickle like snags your spirit out of your body and takes it somewhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's just like, just thematically, it just doesn't matter. Like one's like Dementor, one's Happy Jesus, one's like Little Precious Moments Baby. And their clothes don't even match. There's not like a vibe match. It's just all like a cobble together, and I don't like it.
I know. And like a ghost being happy is nice, but you're right. It is a cobble together trio for sure.
Yeah. It's just it's a bad stew. And then last thing, this is topical. I tried pickled jalapenos this week.
What'd you think?
And they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
I told you.
Man, did you like that limp bang bang?
Stop it.
Jalapeno.
You know what?
Have you done pickled onions yet?
No, I haven't got to. That was the first one. And that's I tried it, put in like a big rice bowl with some chicken and I isolated it. I was like, I'm not going to hide you. I'm gonna eat you on your own. I'm going to tell Aaron, hey, it was underwhelming, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Had like a slow kick to it.
I'm really happy for you, man. This is
it haunts
day.
Me. I haven't given pickle stuff a shot, you know, so we're gonna change some things.
It's a new day for you.
It is.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They are so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Okay, that's some things that have haunted us. Jamie, like when you think about ghosts and ghost-centric ideas or performances or stories, you want to talk about your favorite?
Obviously, because I'm pro-ghosts here on this in this company. I was thinking back, when did ghosts imprint on me? When is my first core memory of ghosts? And it is, of course, what many of my age first memory of ghosts is, and that is Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde from Pac-Man. Like,
oh, 100%, of course. Yeah.
Right. First ghost I've ever encountered in pop culture. I was 5 years old. I also learned about personality typing systems because I was so obsessed with Pac-Man that my mom would be like, okay, because I wanted to be Pac-Man. I wanted to be one of the ghosts for Halloween.
Okay.
And I was like, which one should I choose? And she was like, well, the pink one is a girl. And I was like, tell me more about the ghosts. What do you know about that?
Go on.
And she found out that Blinky, this is about personality typing. So I think people think the ghosts are all the same, but they're not, even strategically when you're doing gameplay. So Blinky is red. He's allegedly a boy. He's the most aggressive of the ghosts. He chases Pac-Man. Uh-huh. that like always from behind. Okay. Pinky, pink. She's deceptive, but she always ambushes Pac-Man from the front.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Then Inky, who's blue, is friends with Blinky, the red one, and they work together to make Pac-Man make a wrong move and find them in the middle. It's like a little threesome. And then there's Clyde, who's orange, who I would say is non-binary because sometimes Clyde is listed as a he and sometimes a she. So I will say they. But the problem is it's not a good representation for non-binary because Clyde is stupid. And please, if Pac-Man, if you get too close to Clyde, Clyde will actually turn around and like go the other direction.
Oh, okay. Clyde's like, hey, I don't really want to be here.
That's right. So which do you think I dressed for as Halloween? Which did you think? Did I choose red, pink, blue, or orange?
I mean, I think, you know, the obvious answer is pink. But
it is.
The way you're asking it made me think it was Clyde. No. I thought it was going to be Clyde.
No, it is 100% Blinky. I was red. Listen, red was my favorite color. Pink, I was very anti-pink. I've been a tiny little feminist my whole life. Now I understand that as a feminist, you can embrace pink and still think that men and women deserve equal opportunities. But I like chasing people. And so that's all I did at the hobo supper at my church was chase people the whole time. At Jesus Ween. At Jesus Ween.
Yeah. Listen, I have loved... I don't know. I guess it's just the season. And I feel like we're more open to hearing different interpretations of Halloween from an evangelical lens. But I feel like I've seen a lot of like his voice is hallowed, no ween necessary kind of posts, you know? And I really like that. I really like that.
I do love that. Listen, my godson, who's a teenager, he went to a judgment house last weekend.
Let's bring him back. Let's bring him back.
They still are around, you guys. People are having helicopters crash in on their gyms at their churches.
If we're saying no bad ideas in brainstorming, what if the podcast did instead of live shows, what if we did haunted houses? You know, what if we did judgment houses?
100%. Like, and what the best part would be, it would start with Indy and Evan, just kind of lighthearted and fun, and then it just goes downhill from there.
I let you walk in and they look at your shoes. What are those? Ooh, gross. Get out of here. You're not invited. And it's just like, it gets worse from there. I'm in. Let's write that down.
I'm 100% in.
I think I'm going to go Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark by Alvin Schwartz. You're talking about like your Pac-Man experience and everything. This was the formative book for me because I'm not trying to be that guy or that kid, but I do feel like I was reading it before everybody like was into it. Oh,
100%.
I do feel like I was on the cutting edge. It came out in 81 and I was born in 82, but I do feel like somehow I was ahead of the curve on this book series. Maybe it's just like the kids in my school. I don't know, but I would always check it out. You know, when we would go on a vacation, we drive like 8 hours to Florida or whatever. And I check out like 10 books and just read the whole way. And I would always come back to this one.
You think this is how you learn to love, because you really love short stories. You think that's where this came from?
I have no idea. I do know it's how it, like one summer on a trip to, I don't know, I think we went to like St. Petersburg to see my grandfather and my great-grandfather, who didn't like not seem interested in seeing us. So I was like, oh, this is weird as a kid, you know, like, why are we here? But that summer I read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I read one of the, I don't know if it was like the Haunter or the Haunted Mask, Goosebumps. And I watched Arachnophobia. And
that's a trifecta.
It was a big summer. And that's why I never went back to horror. Cause I was like, I think I gave myself Arachnophobia and I hate horror stuff and content. So
yeah, that'll do it. If you have to, cause I think that was what was good about me. I think I loved horror as an adult because I didn't come to horror at all. Mm-hmm. Other than that one poltergeist thing that I watched at my church. Cause I know. Right. Accidentally. Other than that, like it wasn't until Scream, when I was in college, that I was like, "Oh, I love horror. I love the way that this makes me feel. This feels like when you think the roller coaster is going to break. I love it."
Yeah, yeah, that's a good explanation of it. Because otherwise, it's like this is the worst thing ever. And I remember hearing people talk about The Exorcist, and I was like, I can't watch that. I'll freaking go to hell. I'll literally go to hell if I watch The Exorcist. Like, why would you do that? Why can that exist?
No, you can't. But now it's like, I love dabbling in The Exorcist. It's kind of fun.
No, thank you. Not for me.
No, thank you. Okay. My next one is, listen, this is also a childhood core moment, and it is a favorite ghost, and it is The Flying Dutchman. I love a ghost ship. It's creepy, and it's like ghost to the nth degree because the ship is a ghost, but also everybody on the ship is a ghost. Like, the captain's a ghost, and then, like, if there are passengers or if there's just a cool, like, guy that's in charge of the back part of the boat. I don't know what his job is, but he's also a ghost. And listen, I do not F with the ocean, but I love freaking boats. I love being on a boat and I love it. And look, I think Viking Cruise, Aaron and I did Relics and Ravioli last December, and it was kind of a ghost ship because everybody was 85 years or older except us. And so it had its own ghost vibes. But look, here's why I love the Flying Dutchman. I have only vomited in public one time.
Really? Only one time?
Only one time. And it was getting off of the Six Flags over Georgia Flying Dutchman ride, the ship that would loop all the way around. And that's when I realized I do not do great in circles, whether they're up and down or left to right. It doesn't matter. I'm not good in circles. And I threw up. And I remember I was with my youth group and they made fun of me because I threw up next to the trash can. But here's the thing.
You didn't throw up in the trash?
No.
That's a big toddler energy of like, Mom, I'm sick. Run to the bathroom, throw up on the sink.
It was one of those trash cans where it's covered on the top and it only has that little opening in the front. And I don't know if you're familiar with how big my head is, but I'm not going to be able to throw up and am I supposed to turn my head to the side?
I'll allow that. It's got the penthouse locked down.
Yes,
so you have
exactly
only
right.
a little sliver. No, I'm not doing that.
No, I can't do that. So I threw up on to the left. That was a funnel cake that I really missed.
Would have been worth it. 100% worth it.
Yeah, it was a great ride. I did love it.
Okay, so you're talking about the Flying Dutchman, the ride? That's what you're talking about?
Well, no, I'm talking about the Flying Dutchman as a concept because it's often in movies and the ghost ship. You know, it's called the Flying Dutchman.
I've never heard about the Flying Dutchman. This is like hand of God. The only context I had on Flying Dutchman was Hannes Wagner, the shortstop from like the 1900s, was called the Flying Dutchman.
Why was he called that? Could he fly? Like, could he run fast?
Very fast and German. Oh, okay. So it's the Flying Dutchman German? Is that what that
makes
sense?
Well, no, German's not Dutch. Isn't that? Which countries are Dutch? Just super fast. Aaron, look it up and let's see if Knox and I can guess.
Hold on.
Which countries are Dutch? The Netherlands? Is that a country?
Man, that was my first guess because I thought it's The Hague or the Netherlands. I don't know if The Hague is in the Netherlands.
Aaron, can you give us a number? How many things are Dutch? How many countries are Dutch?
Yeah.
With
your broken, torn wrists and your gimpy knee,
type
quickly.
Is the Netherlands and Holland also the same thing?
No, it's Holland. You're right. It's Holland.
Y'all are asking a lot of questions.
Which,
I don't know.
Ask Google which countries are Dutch.
I am, and I don't know that it knows.
Oh. Aaron, did you know what the Flying Dutchman was?
It's a boat, right? Is it a boat?
The Flying Dutchman, because I say it's a ghost ship called the Flying Dutchman, and that is what the ship is. Because that's when you go to the Flying Dutchman at Six Flags, there are like creepy ghost noises. There's like weird moaning.
Oh. I only know that because of the Pirates movies. Isn't it in the Pirates movies?
Yeah, in the Pirates movies, that's a ghost ship. He's like, we're the Flying Dutchman.
No idea. Never heard of any of this. This is all news to me.
The man with the octopus face?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What's his name?
Barbossa.
Skarsgård.
No, he's not. No, that's a different Skarsgård. But the original one was the black-haired guy that's not dead from Harry Potter, but the other one.
No,
he's been called Barbossa.
Gary Oldham.
Barbarossa.
Yes. So Holland is Dutch. Is that what we learned?
I don't think Holland is a country.
Holland's
Leave it all
a
in.
Country?
Oh, no.
I want
is.
That whole conversation of us trying to figure out who the captain of the Pirates of the Caribbean ship. I said it three times. Aaron said yes and then mispronounced it. I've
but
never heard of this
Barbossa.
Boat.
You said Barbossa. You said Barbossa.
I think it is Barbossa.
It is Barbossa.
Yeah,
I'm not trying
it's
to.
Barbarossa. I still think you're wrong.
It's Barbossa and it's Jeffrey Rush. How mad are these listeners? They're so mad.
I think he's,
he's not dead.
Because if memory
he's
serves,
alive?
Jamie, you said it's Gary Oldman, but I think you said Oldham.
He said,
and I was
she
like,
said Oldham.
Well, because that's how it's spelled.
No, it's not. It's spelled Oldman.
Oh, is it Oldman?
You can't get to Oldman from Oldham. You just can't.
Sorry, my bad.
You know?
My bad.
What a mess.
Jeffrey Rush, who is alive and well and Australian. He's not Dutch at all.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's Australian.
So I just want to, on behalf of all of us, I want to apologize. I think it's important for everyone to see.
Because the people don't come here for facts.
They don't. But do you know, this is a fun story. Do you know why the Romans called the barbarians the barbarians?
No.
You don't have to guess. There's no way you could know that.
I would have no idea. No.
Because it was like a dig. It was shade they were throwing at them because they thought the way they talked sounded like bar, 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 bar. So they just called them barbarians.
That's pretty good. That's a sick burn. That's a good burn.
It's a pretty good burn.
Y'all wanted me to look up what countries are Dutch.
So you have an answer?
Yes.
Your first answer was Google doesn't know.
Well, then I asked.
We asked Aaron to look up how many countries are Dutch. That's what we asked her to look up.
And then I changed the question.
Because remember, I said, I think Holland and the Netherlands are the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'm into that, sure.
I don't know.
But then you were like, Holland's not a country. You were like, Holland's not a country.
No, I think it is. And I think that's
Aaron,
the Dutch.
Aaron said Holland's not a country. But I think it is. And now she's like, yeah, I think it is. So it's,
but I don't understand where it is.
Where's Amsterdam? Is that a country?
That's in...
No, that's a city. That's where you can do drugs and have sex.
Yes.
That is.
And other things. Other things.
Well, they also have like a lot of...
What are you, the tourism board? I like that you're like, other things can happen here.
There's a lot of bicycles there too.
That's right. Do they have the locks on the little bridges?
There's a great library.
I don't think you can do
that anymore. Oh, no,
Gary Oldham gave us money for this. It's good.
Okay, which countries are Dutch?
I think it's just one.
Oh no.
That was my working theory, but
is it Holland?
No, I think it's Netherlands.
Dang,
and I don't think it's the Netherlands.
Oh, it's not the Netherlands?
It is to me. It is to me.
I think it is.
Why are we so stupid?
Interestingly,
Aaron, look that up. Why are we so stupid?
You're saying Holland and Netherlands are two different things.
Okay, it says the Netherlands is a country, but the Netherlands consists of 12 provinces.
Well, that's like the United States has 50 states.
I don't think that's what it means.
Canada has provinces. I think there are 13.
I think you're right. I don't know what the provinces are.
I think they're just another way to say like Holland. A smaller thing.
Okay, Holland has frequently been used to informally refer to the whole of the modern country of the Netherlands.
Oh, they are the same.
So confusing.
It is.
I could have swore Holland was its own thing.
So if you're listening and you live in the Netherlands, do you prefer to Holland or do you want to... Are you like the Netherlands?
Don't answer that because we're too stupid to do anything with that information. Just pray for us. That's all we ask you to do.
It's fine.
Pray for our stupid faces. I'm so sorry. We're wasting your time. We're dumb. Let's talk about the smoke monster, Jamie. That's one of my favorite ghost performances.
That's a great one. So good.
It's wonderful because essentially it starts as murderous pollution. And like, we don't know why it is, what it is. It's just smoke monster. It kills Greg, whatever. Is it Grunberg? But then I got in my head about Greta Thunberg and I was like, whoa. And then I thought, are they related? That'd be crazy. But then I thought, no, they're probably not. So that's all that happened in those like 2 seconds. So it kills a pilot, J.J. Abrams' friend. And then at that point, I'm like, this should be in the Captain Planet movie because it is just murderous pollution. And like, this would be a great antagonist for those movies and stories.
Yeah.
But eventually it just turns into Titus Welver. Who's a guy with mommy issues. And that kind of got worse. So I don't think it got better. It got more explained, but it didn't get better as a character. But just that character, that iteration, that mechanism on the show, absolutely majestic.
Yeah, because like eventually they're just like, yeah, the man in black threw Jacob.
You're reading dialogue right now. I take it.
No, yeah. But I mean like.
You're reading from the script.
I know. Yeah. David Lindelof, but jealous. I could have done a better job. But listen, Jacob just threw his heart. He threw his brother into the heart of the island, right? And then he becomes the man in black.
Into like the drainage pipe. And his mom was like, ugh, boring.
And like, it's the source of all life and death. I bet there are ghosts in there.
Yeah.
There are ghosts.
Dang right.
Because the smoke monster's there. That's exactly right.
So
I had a smoke monster for my finale party. I made a smoke monster that went all the way through my house.
What were your materials? Like, cite your sources. What were you
black
working with?
Garbage bags.
Oh, I would have thought like you went like with cotton or something. Or like something like
fluffy.
I wasn't
that. I was very poor and not that creative.
So that is true.
Because I did not cut the garbage bags. And then I took them down and reused them. Like, put them right back in the box. Like,
I have a question. This might be an ADHD or ADD question or just a personality question. Do you often start a project and you're like, this is the best idea? And then you get like 25% and you're like, I'm not going to finish this.
This is the only project I've ever started that I'm still doing. Are you kidding?
What you're describing sounds like a big deal. So I'm impressed that you finished it.
No, it was just because people were coming over and there was a timeline on it. It was like I had said it. And so it's like, oh no, they're coming and they're dressing as people from the show. So I have to deal with this.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. What else you got?
Mine, of course, listen, this is my sexual awakening ghost. And I know for some of you listening, you're young enough that for you, it's Casper. I get it.
Yeah.
But for some of us, it's Sam Wheat from 1990s iconic supernatural romance film Ghost.
Right.
Okay. Because you have to take it back. 14-year-old Jamie was hormonal. She wore glasses. She was overweight. Her mom would let her wear makeup, but neither of them knew how to put it on. Jamie was just trying to find her way in rural Alabama. And then she discovered Sam Wheat. Now, she already knew. Listen, I already had my Patrick Swayze moment because of Dirty Dancing. He's so hot. He tries to solve his own murder, even after he's dead. He's just trying to protect Molly.
Yeah.
Me more with a... Demi Moore with the best pixie that's ever lived, second only to maybe Winona Ryder. And then hot villain Tony Goldwyn, who I was kind of like, why am I also attracted to him? Like, I had to figure some stuff out as a 14-year-old. Plus, I didn't know ghosts could be so sexual. And Patrick Swayze was named Sexiest Man Alive the very next year. And well, I'm not surprised by that. Of course not. Now, are there some sketchy things in this movie? Like a villain being called Willie Lopez? Yes, of course. Okay, of course there are. Or that the psychic is a woman named Oda Mae Brown, who also goes by Rita Miller. Yeah, none of that. None of that makes sense. But man, Patrick Swayze and that pottery wheel, very sassy. Very sassy.
I feel like there's if that was made into a modern situation, you could put eight episodes of this on Netflix. Just he never leaves the wheel. They never leave the pottery. They're just making complete, like, absolute train wrecks of pottery. But it's wet and it's gooey, and they're on top of each other.
Well, you can open up a private tab, and I bet you can find that right now. Like, you don't even have to wait on Netflix, for sure.
Jamie, we've talked about favorite ghosts. Yes. Give me least favorite ghosts.
I have so many, but I will narrow it down for you. And obviously, the number one for all of us listening, I'm sure, is Moaning Myrtle.
Thank you. It's on my list, too. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, so Knox and Aaron and I, we recapped all of the Harry Potter movies because I had never seen them and I had not read the books because I'm old. Remember, my sexual awakening is Patrick Swayze. So, but listen, super sad. She's super sad, which is not my favorite vibe. Her haunting isn't a wailing. The moaning, the fact that moaning is in your title.
I'm out on moaning.
Because I find moaning to be, unless it's in the right circumstances, more annoying than spooky. It's just not spooky. You know what I mean?
Well, I actually interpret it as it's more of a sexual term than it is. That's the kind of.
I know, but that, I don't like that either. Because look, now, was I interested in that unresolved sexual tension with Harry in that tub?
Yeah, that was a cul-de-sac of unresolved sexual tension, just so you know.
No, but I also have real problems with Moaning Myrtle being 14 when she died by the Serpent of Slytherin. Spoiler. Right. Okay. But she's also portrayed by an actress who was 37. Don't love that.
Let's figure this out because she's born in 1928. And when she rolls up on us in the bathroom, that's the viewers or the book readers. It's 1992. So she's 64 at that point.
Yeah, but that's not the math. That's not the transphobic math, right? It's her math is, listen, she's 14. She died at 14.
But she's lived for 64 years. So I would say it's 64. I think I just don't like that there's a 64-year-old woman hanging out in the bathroom forever. And during the Triwizard Tournament, when she's like, I watched Edward take a bath with his weird egg and I know what he did with it. So that's what you want to do with it. And Harry's like, do you watch? I think he literally says, like, do you watch people take baths? And she's like, sometimes. She just admitted it. Basically sexual predator.
And you're exactly right. I don't like that she has sexualized her post human form and it's with teens. And I get that she is sort of a teen, but also 64.
Yeah.
But like, I don't like that because what happened is she sexualized Harry. And so I was like, am I sexualizing Harry? No, I'm sexualizing Daniel Radcliffe, who is a grown man.
Sure.
And so that's different. That is okay.
I like that you're splitting the hairs. Here's how Jamie B. Golden and Moaning Myrtle are different. My column. TruthSocial.com/ I don't like that she looks like Harry Potter either. She looks like Harry Potter. She looks like him. And I don't like that because there's incest vibes. But I also remember in the book, like she gets Draco to talk about his plans. Like he just comes to the bathroom. He's like, oh, I got to figure out how to kill Dumbledore. You have any thoughts? And then just like, that's bad for her. You need to report that. See something, say something. But for Draco, I don't know, man. Like, keep a low prof. Go ghost protocol when you're trying to.
Well, and I hate to do a callback, but Aaron, that's a ghost that hung out in a bathroom.
That's my point. Like, what's she doing? Why is she doing that?
Yeah.
Why is she just hanging out there?
Jamie, you're citing her as someone that is your least favorite ghost hanging out in a bathroom.
I know. I'm just saying for factual purposes, she did like to stay in a bathroom.
You are making a case against your own self.
That happens often.
Those were cool bathrooms, though. I'll be honest.
I'm nothing if not living by double standards.
So we're clear.
I'm going to do The Headless Horseman. I really don't like The Headless Horseman. This is from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. The story's not even good because it's not like a spooky story. They're like, it was probably this other guy who got this other guy to like fall off his horse and die or like run away from embarrassment. And I just think like tactically, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be like, I'm the guy who lost my head and I have to carry my head around. So in the afterlife, I can't get it reattached like in Beetlejuice, where I can like get things elongated, but like reduced. I have to carry this thing around forever. And sometimes I can throw it at people maybe, but like, I can't carry a Stanley and my head and ride a horse. Like something's got to give here, you know? So I just feel like it's bad planning.
You think that's just a Texas issue of like, we're fine. Cause I feel like Texans are like, I don't have a head, but I'm still a main character. Do you know what I mean?
Is that right? No. That's not, that story does not take place in Texas.
It does take place in New York, I thought.
It's called A Strange Tale of Texas was its alternate title.
The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Oh no, The Headless Horseman by Thomas Mayne Reid.
That is a different.
My bad. Different. My bad.
My bad. Yeah. My bad. My bad.
That was me. I confused everyone using two names.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Okay, listen, my next one, my least favorite ghost, and this is probably top notch. Okay, obviously the Ghost of Christmas Past. We talked about it already. I will say, listen, when I looked up the definition in Dickens where he talks about the Ghost of Christmas Past serves as a haunting reminder of regret and lost opportunity. I have that covered by my mom and my therapist and Time Hop. Okay, I don't need a reminder of that. Yeah. But my actual other and final least favorite ghost is Boo Berry from the Monster Cereal.
Okay.
First of all, it's the worst monster cereal. Boo Berry is the least of these. We've got Count Chocula. We've got Frankenberry, Fruit Brute, Yummy Mummy. And then the new one. Have you had the new one, Carmella Creeper? I got it last week.
I don't eat cereal like a baby.
Oh my God. Well, you're missing out. Food. Are you eating like, what? Do you eat cereal at all?
No.
Okay. So I eat children's cereal.
Right.
All the time, every day. Like I did have Cheerios today because I was like, do you need to work on your cholesterol? Here's a bowl of cereal. But Carmella Creeper is apple caramel.
Okay.
It's very good. But the monster cereals, Boo Berry is the worst. So Boo Berry is not only the worst cereal, Boo Berry represents blueberries. And I will go to I will climb up a hill, any hill anyone asks me.
Yep.
And I will literally die on that hill that blueberries are the worst berry of all the berries. Because better berries, straw, rasp, black, crayon, boysen, huckle, goose cloud, than any berry that God created that we haven't found yet, then it's blue.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a better, like a worse, better one, but I can't. I can't.
No, right? Because, and I know people love, they're like, but blueberry muffins. Sure. But you've had to cook all the goo gross out of that because the texture of a blueberry. Listen, and it's a filler. Everybody wants to talk about how melon is filler. Blueberries are Chick-fil-A trying to make blueberries happen in that fruit cup. And I bit into one the other. I was like, man, I'm gonna give it another try. I've always hated blueberries. I bit into it. I was like, why is it tough to bite into, but also then very slimy? I don't understand the blueberry.
I don't like that. I like them in shakes. You know, I feel like they're antioxidants. That's nice. Oh, that's good. True. That's helpful. But other than that, it does have a poor texture. I don't enjoy that.
I know. And it stains your teeth. It's like a weird thing. I'm not into that.
Listen, to the cereal thing, cereal was basically invented so people wouldn't like be sexually active. And I just
which
won't support
Which is exactly
something.
Why I eat cereal every morning.
That's exactly why
the day
I don't
right.
eat cereal every morning, Jamie. You know, it's just a healthy lifestyle. My last one, I'm going to do...
Bang, bang.
Ghosts. You alluded to it. Ghosts in church haunted houses that die because of a car wreck or a helicopter crash or whatever. They drank one beer and then exploded. And then they spend eternity trying to get you to walk the Romans Road on Halloween night through a series of bad high school drama. It's not my favorite. And I say that I'm not just a client. I was the owner of my own performances of some judgment houses.
Yeah, you were.
People probably remember me from Guy with a Girlfriend in a Car. And also I was a demon tour guide with red contacts. I think we've told this story before, but it was an angel and a demon taking the groups through. And my friend Paul was the angel and I was the demon. So I bought red contacts to wear to heighten the performance. Because
were those irritating? They always feel
they
like
were so irritating.
Irritating.
They were not nice to wear. I did not enjoy them. So yeah, I just it's not my favorite. You know, I don't want it. But I am interested that they're coming back. I think that's fun.
Well, and the fact that they have ghosts, but like I would think most puritanical evangelical Christians, white American evangelical Christians, would be like, no, ghosts aren't real. But like they're ghosts in your judgment house. Like, how do you explain that?
I feel like if you try to nail white evangelicals down about ghosts and spirits and how that all crosses over
or anything,
it's going to be a lot of confused looks.
That's fair.
A lot of hesitating, maybe like Aaron a few minutes ago. I don't know. I'm not here to say. Who knows? We'll find out what it said in the edit. But
unbelievable.
All right, you guys. If you liked our conversation about ghosts, guess what? We have a ghost quiz. You want to figure out which ghost is going to haunt you for eternity? Is it a happy ghost? Or is it a not happy ghost? You can go to knoxandjamie.com/ghost quiz and take our quiz today and then share your results on social. We want to know who is going to be haunting you for eternity.
All right. That's been our conversation on ghosts and pop culture. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. knoxandjamie.com/527. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. My red light this week comes from a tweet from Alex Cohen. Alex wrote on Twitter, he said, I don't think people without kids understand just how much free time they have. And I want to reply to him. He also followed up and said, if you don't have kids, you should A, be hitting the gym 5 times per week. B, have a strong social life. C, be working on 3 to 4 interesting hobbies. And 4, traveling as much as possible. You have all the time. There is no excuse. Okay, so I want to address Alex specifically. I know he's listening. Number one, people without kids do understand how much free time they have. We 100% know. We do not take it for granted. We recognize in every way that not having a familial legacy does give you more time to putz around on TikTok. Also, I know that some of you are listening are empty nesters, which is actually the best of both worlds. You have your heart walking around the earth outside of your body, but you also have plenty of time for Candy Crush, which I really love. Second, Alex, those things you listed that I should be doing because I don't have kids, those are very expensive free time flexes. Going to the gym is expensive. I got to have the cute like motion wear from Target, and I've got to have my Brooks Ghost shoes, and I've got to have like a good pair of headphones, and then I've got to pay the gym to not go there because I'm going to not go for a year, but I'm going to have paid a year in membership. Also, all of us have imagined if we had more time that we would fill it with productive things like on your list. We would start businesses. We would write the great American novel. We would clean out that one closet that scares us a little, right? But that's not what we do. You know what we do? We end up giving our dog pigtails and then we end up practicing the choreography to Oops, I Did It Again. and we watch Parks and Rec for the seventh time this week. Okay. For me, this weekend, I had some free time. I sorted my lipsticks by how they made me feel. Yeah, I couldn't do that with a six-year-old. I recognize that. We do know. We 100% we know. Red light to you, Alex.
I feel like the point of having free time is that it's free to do whatever you want with it.
It's
not hit the gym four times a week or what was one? Travel a lot? Like, Alex, that's not even like
a
goal.
Working on 3 to 4 interesting hobbies.
Well, what makes it interesting? You know, like that's a very valid or it's a varied kind of definition. That's just.
I feel like Alex would say the word Bitcoin in terms of an interesting hobby.
You just don't have to tweet everything you think. You know, you can just write in a diary.
Fair.
Like, dear diary, right. Here's my thoughts on single people.
Dear diary, I wish I didn't have kids so I could go to the gym more. Exactly. Tell your diary that.
Dear diary, I think I'm becoming an incel. I'm going to post about it on Twitter. My red light this week, these are just like random red lights. No music, nothing, no fanfare. I noticed these. They're not big enough to be on their own.
What if you had your own music? You could have your own fun music.
I just feel like it'd be like sad high school band music, you know, and just like, very mediocre.
Fair enough.
That's what I feel like these are. But together, they form like a good, solid, full red light. Okay. The Dollarita is back at Applebee's. And I just... Applebee's, is that what a chaotic world needs right now at this moment? More chaos, more $1 for a glass of alcoholic beverage.
It's not good alcohol, you guys.
It's not. We did away with Four Loko and the original formula for a reason. The Grimace Shake only gets a couple weeks. We don't need the Dollarita back right now. Have you seen the Middle East? Come on, get rid of it. John Stamos, I guess he's doing his memoir or something, which like tough time to release a memoir with Britney Spears. You know, I would have pushed that probably.
Yeah, thank you.
But he told, did you see the story about him getting cucked by Tony Danza?
No, what was it?
Yeah, I think Terry Copley, his girlfriend at the time, he was like, I was busy doing car shows, which I was like, what? I think I'm the Beach Boys dog. And he was like, she wasn't returning my call. So I went to her house, which was a beach house on her ex-husband's property, which I thought that's probably a bad sign.
that's probably a very bad sign,
Uncle Jesse, that like you don't have things like in order. And he's like, I walked in and the door was cracked open. And I saw her in bed with a muscular man with part like one half his buttocks out. And I saw a poster that she had rolled up and I'd never seen before. And she's naked in it. And she signed it to Tony, like Love Terry or whatever. And he was like, what do I do? Do I fight him? Do I kick him in the balls? So he stole the poster and just left and like never talked about it. And I was just like, Uncle Jesse, that is not a good story.
Listen, you know? I thought you were saying that this was coming out in the future and that it wasn't a good time to have memoirs. His memoir came out the same day as Britney's.
Oh, I thought it was coming out later. Like, why would you do it? I didn't think in a million years it would come out on the same day.
It came out Tuesday. Why would you even begin to try to compete? Your publisher does not think your book is good and they are burying it. That's
but if you got more stories like this, like I'm into it. Like, was Mona there?
What's
Mona
up to?
What's the story there? What's going on? And then last one, Home Depot. I thought you had my back. You know, you sponsor Game Day. You got that cool commercial with like all the sounds and like all the hardware sounds. You stock my favorite machetes. you got off-brand Matthew McConaughey, making sure Josh Lucas is cashing those checks, getting work. But then you come out with this godforsaken $300 skeletal monstrosity at spooky Halloween time, and you are daring all these people to buy it and display it. And
they're buying it. They're buying it.
I know it's cool for Halloween, but what are you supposed to do the other 364 days of the year? Put that in our attic? That's insane. That's going
to
give you a heart attack.
Yeah, where are you supposed to store that?
Maybe we just give candy to children on the day we're supposed to give candy to children. Maybe that's what we focus on. Keep it simple. Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week is the new film, Killers of the Flower Moon. Oh, my goodness. You guys, this is based on David Grand's best-selling book of the same name. It was a green light in 2017 here on the podcast. This is about the Reign of Terror period in the 1920s, Oklahoma. If you remember, most of the country, to be honest, but Oklahoma had some real clear terror seasons in the 20s. Okay. Now, this comes from the fact that the U.S. government had forced the Osage Nation to move off their lands in Kansas. And they said, you got to go live in Oklahoma. Nothing good is there. Except when they moved there, guess what was there? Oil. Oil was on their land. And so the Osage became not only the richest people in Oklahoma, but on the entire planet. They became the richest people in the world, okay? And guess who didn't like that? White folks, no likey. And so they started to murder members of the nation to attain what's called their head rights for their wealth. And these murders caught the attention of a newly formed bureau in the government, which would later become the FBI. This adaptation if you read the book and loved it, this is the most beautiful compliment to it. Because what Martin Scorsese did, and he talked about this, is like originally they did write it from the perspective of the book. David Greene's book is really from the Bureau of Investigation. It doesn't hone in on any specific family. But Martin Scorsese took that as a base and then built this story around Molly and her family. And it is so fantastic. Part of me thinks this is probably Martin Scorsese's last film. He did an interview recently where he said there's just not any time left because he's about to turn 81. But it's a good one if this is his last one. And let me tell you, I was not prepared for how much I would be just blown away by Robert De Niro's performance. He is fantastic in this film. And I'm so glad that this could be on his filmography to kind of, because I did not enjoy him in The Irishman. And so I loved this so much. And then Leonardo DiCaprio, what are you doing? It's stunning. And look, this movie is 3 hours and 26 minutes long. Now, first of all, I know that a lot of you are like, I could never. You could, and you have. Avengers Endgame, Titanic, Oppenheimer, maybe this summer. You can do it. You can do it. It's Avatar. Like, you can do it. I didn't think my ADHD or bladder would handle it. It handled it beautifully because, listen, Thelma Schoonmaker, who is Martin Scorsese's longtime editor for 50 years, she's won 4 Oscars. I think this will be her 5th. The pacing of this film is so well done, and you need every minute. There is not an ounce of fat on this film. And I never like got up. I never got nervous. I never like, I don't know if I just had the right meds in me. I don't know what happened, but it was fantastic. And let me say, the real understated star of this film is Lily Gladstone, who plays Molly. And this story is about her family. She did an interview with a Hollywood Reporter that said, you know, she had auditioned for this film and it was a much smaller part at the time she had auditioned. And they never kind of followed up at all of what was going to happen. So she was like, I just assumed I didn't get it. And she goes, and I was probably just kind of, she said, I had decided that maybe acting wasn't for me. I just wasn't making a lot of moves and getting a lot of roles. And y'all, she sat down at her computer to register for a data analytics course because she was going to apply for a seasonal job at the Department of Agriculture to track murder hornets. And when she sat down to the computer to take the course, she pulled out her credit card. And she said, when I did that, my phone buzzed. And it was a text from her manager or from her agent saying, Martin Scorsese wants to do a Zoom meeting with you.
Wow.
And listen, she's probably going to win an Oscar. Like, she's so fantastic in this.
But who's watching out for the murder hornets? You know, did they fill that job?
Good luck to Chad.
If they kill us all, it's not going to matter.
I know. It's Lily Gladstone. It's like, we're not going to be able to watch your movie. So this was, look, I know that it's difficult to think about going to the movie theater for that long, but this is worth it. This is such an important story, but it's beyond that. The script is top notch. You will not get over what Leonardo DiCaprio does in this film. And the fact that Jesse Plemons is in it, Brendan Fraser, you're just like, oh, look, there's 4 minutes with him and it was fantastic. Everybody in this is just doing the kind of work that I think actors and directors dream of doing. And it's really fantastic. So
I'm excited to see it. I'm seeing it tomorrow night.
You're going to love it. Yeah. I mean, I hope you're going to love it. I think you're going to love it.
My green light this week is a book. It's called MCU: The Reign of Marvel Studios. Ooh. That's by Joanna Robinson, Dave Gonzalez, and Gavin Edwards. I love Joanna Robinson. I trust her with a lot of critiques and criticism. I think she's on the Ringer Prestige podcast, but before that she was doing, I think maybe Vanity Fair podcast recaps. But she's an absolutely incredible, smart, intelligent reviewer and a great podcaster as well. The only sad thing about this book was they let her do the first chapter, but then she doesn't get to read the rest, which I don't understand because that's the whole reason I've been paying attention to her as a podcaster. So I love her voice. I don't know what's wrong with her voice that doesn't let her read the book, but whatever. But the information in the book alone is really, really good. It's essentially, I guess, insight, wisdom. It's not an oral history because they talk about why at a certain point Disney gives them the green light to do the book and they're going to collaborate. But then halfway through, Disney decides to do their own version of a book. So they close off everybody. So they have to get really creative with how they get information, which they do. And it's really just an awesome comprehensive chronicle of the rise and kind of the mediocring of Marvel, I guess Marvel Entertainment Studios, but also the cinematic universe, everything. It's people who were considered for other roles, stuff going on behind the scenes that led to decisions that maybe we didn't understand, but now we understand why. And it really focuses on, I guess, the what I didn't realize was the most powerful guy with Marvel, this gentleman named, I think, Ike Perlmutter. And he was the one who was the biggest Disney shareholder after the sale, but he held all the cards, had all the power, held all the sway. And his big priority was making movies to sell toys. So early on, that's the biggest thing that he's wanting. And that's what they're efforting towards, is to make movies so that kids will want to buy toys. And eventually it gets to a point where the differences of opinion and the differences of priorities collide, essentially. But it's just, if you at all, I'm not the biggest Marvel guy. I'm not the biggest superhero guy or the mythology or anything like that. But this is just a great nuts and bolts of like how this thing that dominated our culture for 10 years came to be. Some of it very expertise laden, some of it just very accidental. So I thought all of that was fascinating to read about, Mark.
Well, I definitely want to read this because one, it has 4.4 stars, mm-hmm. New York Times bestseller. But also I'm like you. Like, I like Marvel, but it doesn't define me. But I'm very curious about its origin story. Like, how did we get where this was the thing that we were supposed to all think about and care about all the time.
Yeah. And some of the, this person was supposed to be this person, it will blow your mind. It's absolutely tremendous.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited.
Okay. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Before you go, remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So your purchase uses our affiliate link. Our favorite item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is an item called a Gospitality Eagle Wing Necktie.
First of all, the store called Gospitality is top notch. Okay. So they sell church supplies, and this is a men's wings as eagles necktie. They have 4.8 stars with 45 ratings. So not a ton, but, and look, there are no negative ratings. They're all 4 or 5 stars, and there were no questions. So I had to dig. So I was like, let's look more into Gospitality. What kind of things are we selling? They're selling church supplies, you know, like anointing oil, some communion supplies, visitor signs, offering supplies. But two things stood out to me. One, worship gloves. Into it. Listen, they only come in white. I'm very interested in that. Why would worship gloves only be in the color white? Mm. That's interesting. And it feels, I'm going to be honest with you, a little racist.
Okay.
Don't love that. But then they also have pastor towels, which I'm very into. And here, good, like, high five to Gospitality, because they have men of God pastor towels. They have women of God.
What's
they
up?
They have deacons. They have a cross embroidery. And then apostle. I'm going to rebuke apostle. That feels like a step too far.
Which,
you know, I get that apostle means to be sent out, and we love that.
Yeah.
But no matter. Into the store. Like, we obviously Google Gospitality if you need a pastor towel. Part of me was like, do I need a pastor towel?
I think we all need a pastor towel.
I think we all need a pastor towel.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Don't forget, we have merch available until November 1st. You can go to knoxandjamie.shop and snag all the goodies. And don't forget, you want to find out which ghost is haunting you, you can take our free quiz. Free. KnoxandJamie.com/ghost quiz. The link is in the show notes. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.